Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, Happy New Year to you. It is that time of year, so to speak, that... joyous is in the air. Christmas is over, and it's time to spring in 2019. And for here, everybody at the Nation, we want to welcome you. Camaro Dave is out there driving around with his New Year's party hat on. He put his fuzzy balls away from Christmas, and he's got his kazoo, and he's gearing up for the party. So we're going to do that. And sorry, this is going to get out
of... No, wait a minute. At Christmas, he had a tassel.
Yeah, well, that was
he had his little tassel out.
His fuzzy balls are on the end of the tassel.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Well, we've got Meathead with us today from Amazing Ribs, and we're going to be talking about food for New Year's and football games coming up, and when you're spending a lot of time on the couch, and so we're going to be doing that if I don't get kicked off the air first. And we'd like to thank Painted Hills Natural Beef, because what I can tell you is it's damn good beef. Anyway, there you go. Meathead, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, good talking to you again. I'm ready for the new year.
I think it's a strange
2018, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit weird, but, you know, it's could be worse. It could be worse. So what do you do on New Year's?
My brother-in-law, who's also my best friend. A lot of people don't get along with their in-laws, but my brother-in-law, sweetest guy, and his wife, and my wife and I, we go out for dinner, and then we go to one of the other's homes and watch the watch the ball drop in Manhattan, and pop a bottle of champagne, and make some finger foods, and keep the driving to a minimum. He just lives a few miles from us. I try to stay off the roads on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, we've got some friends that normally come over on New Year's Eve, and we start the festivities about 6 o'clock or so, and there's some food. I have a little thing. I make black bean soup, kind of a good luck gesture, you know. There's usually a ham bone left over and some things, a little cornbread, some other finger foods, maybe some crab and some homemade cocktail sauce, because we have a lot of that around here. And we will watch a movie or two, and then we watch, like you say, we watch the ball drop, because we're a couple hours behind you. And usually by 12:01, they've headed home, and unless I'm really wound up and want to watch some old Clint Eastwood movie or something, I'm in the bed, period.
Yeah, we're a couple old codgers, you and I. Yeah. Done with the old partying all night and drinking all night. And besides, I want to be sober for the football games on New Year's Day.
Yep.
So I'm a football fan. I like to couchgate. I like to have some friends over and whoop up a bunch of foods and watch the games. And I'm a Florida Gator, and often our team is in some sort of a bowl game, so that's kind of fun to watch.
There you go. Well, I'm an Oregon State Beaver, and we're usually pushed back into the pond by that time of year, so we don't have to worry about it. That's why I took up golf, you know. So anyway, I'll tell you one of the things that I like to do, and because we've had Christmas, you know, just a few days before, and really you're 6 days between Christmas and New Year's Eve, type thing. But I like to kind of take, if we've got some ham, like I said, I like to do some stuff with some ham. I like to do some things that we didn't have over the Christmas, you know, festivals, and dinners and parties and things. You know, I might whip out some meatballs or something like that. I just do it all a little differently on Christmas Eve, and I fire up the smokers. I will usually do a rack of ribs or two. maybe short ribs, and have those available. And then everybody else just kind of grazes around that.
Yeah. I mean, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and then we're swinging into the playoffs. You know, we've got all the college football and then the NFL season. It's just a great time to get a repertoire of finger foods ready, because you don't want to be sitting there watching the ball drop in Manhattan or watching a football game with a plate with a knife and fork balanced on your knee.
No.
No. You got to have a spread on the table or the buffet and a stiff paper plate, and you want to be able to eat with your hands. So, we start out with some, even here in the Midwest, we go for the smoked salmon.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be your state food there. Nothing like getting a fresh piece of salmon. I do a simple brine and put it in the smoker.
Yep.
If you want to go fancy and you want to paint it with a little maple syrup or brown sugar or something, you can. I've been known to cut the fillet into cubes and put them on ice cream stick so that they can be smoked and then picked up like an ice cream stick. That's kind of fun. Nuts, smoked nuts. I'm a backyard cook. I like to smoke and grill things.
I'll give you.
You want to smoke?
I'll give you
nuts.
Little...
They're really easy.
I had a great joke about that, but I'm going to let it go this time. here's a little hint for you on your smoked salmon. Find some honey powder. I use some honey powder on when I smoke a salmon fillet or whatever, and I kind of put it on right as all that little white bubbly stuff is, just starting to show a little bit, and it's drying out nicely, and I put that on the top, and it'll just kind of melt right in there if you still got some time to smoke it. It's really good. So there you go. It's just a little hint.
Well, I've never seen honey powder. I've seen maple syrup powder or maple powder or maple sugar.
Yeah.
And I've used that. And by the way, that white bulb, that white ooze, we call it salmon boogers.
Yep.
It's something called albumin. It's a protein, and brining it or soaking the fish in a salt water does help mitigate it somewhat. If you start seeing it, I'll often just brush it off, get a damp paintbrush, and just brush the meat either with water or vinegar or something like that. It's not the most pleasant looking, but it's absolutely harmless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, when you live, I don't know if I told you this story before we go to break. Years ago, I was working in Springfield, Massachusetts, and I was doing a show back there. And a guy came up to me and he said, "You live out in Oregon?" I said, "Yeah, I live in Oregon." And he goes, "What do you do all day?" And I said, "Well, when we get done fighting the Indians, we go home and watch HBO. So... we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Meathead right after this.
It's all the same, only the name.
Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and down in Texas on KSE. What is it? Seymour, KSEY. I had to think of it for a second. My friends down there. Hope you all had a great Christmas. We've got Meathead, my buddy from AmazingRibs.com, with us. If you'd like to email us, it's Barbecue Nation. That's BBQ Nation at AlphaMediaUSA.com. I know that's a long kind of email address, but once you get it populated, it's perfect. Facebook, Barbecue Nation with JT, and say hi to a couple of our affiliates, KFLS in Klamath Falls, KLBM in LeGrand up there. So now back to Meathead. What other than wings, okay? When you think of football parties, you know, when you think of cruising around, surfing channels, watching games like that, and TV models this. I mean, they tell us you got to eat wings. You should be eating wings. Well, I love wings too. I suppose you do too. But there's other foods that we can prepare other than just wings. And I wanted to hear your take on that. Some of the things that you would do for watching the ball games and even, you know, New Year's Eve.
Well, now I'm going to throw all my notes out. I love serving wings and, I like to serve like four different kinds of dipping sauces with it.
Sure.
I like meatballs. You can stab them with a toothpick, and again, you can make different dipping sauces. You can have an Asian dipping sauce. You can have a sweet hot dipping sauce, a barbecue dipping sauce, an Italian dipping sauce. I do smoke nuts. I started to say that before we went to break. Smoked nuts are really easy and a lot of fun. The secret here is that smoke is gases and little teeny particles. And the little teeny particles like to stick to wet surfaces. So you want to take your nuts and you want to soak them for just 10 minutes or so, not even that long as necessary. Just get them wet and throw them onto the smoker. You can use a small pan of some sort. Are you still with me? Because I'm getting beeping noises.
Yeah, no, I'm here. I'm listening.
I'm sorry. I'm getting all kinds of goofy beeping noises. We may have to get Dave to cut that out. I apologize.
No worries.
Somebody's trying to call in.
So let me ask you this. You were talking about smoking nuts and stuff, but I'm going to go back to the wings just for a second, and then we'll come back to your nuts. I had a thought, and I wanted to know what you think of this, because I have not done this, but I was thinking about this. Could you feasibly take, you know, the little drumettes or the actual wings, throw them in your smoke, throw them in your smoker, just let them smoke for an hour. I don't know what the time would be. I'm just guessing here, because like I said, I have not done this. But then take them out of there and pop them in your handy-dandy countertop deep fryer. Do that, and then put them in your sauces. I would just be curious of how that worked.
Yes, I've done that, and it does work. It works very nicely. My favorite way of doing it, I'm not a huge fan of smoking them first, then frying them. The smoking doesn't always work. I want those skins really crispy.
Sure.
And I can get them pretty darn crispy on the grill. So typically, I'll just grill them off. I'll be careful that they don't burn.
Yeah.
I'll watch them like a hawk, and I'll just grill them off until they're really good and crispy. I'll put some sort of salt, definitely salt and pepper, but I may not put a sauce or anything on them. And I'll split them into three parts. The tips I will put aside raw and use those for making a stock. But the drumettes and the center section is what I'll grill off. And then I'll put out a bunch of dipping sauces, and and you can do the meatballs with the same dipping sauces, and that's a lot of fun. People find their favorite sauce.
On a monetary note, Meathead, here's something I've noticed lately, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you would, but that's what friends are for. But at the grocery store the other day, we have a specialty grocery store that's close to where we live that deals a lot in Hispanic foods and some Russian foods, and it's a great store. I like it. Okay. And their meat counter is actually for pork and chicken. And some of that stuff is great because they give you cuts that you won't find at your local Kroger or Safeway or something. But I noticed that their drumettes are about twice as expensive, and this is raw in the package, than the regular chicken leg. Same weight, but I noticed that the price of drumettes has gone up. And I don't know what that is. I mean, I know they're smaller. It takes more to fill up a package, but a pound is still a pound, no matter what it is, whether it's 2 or 20. So I was just curious about that.
I don't know, but, meat prices depend on supply and demand. And every restaurant under the sun now serves chicken wings.
Right.
And you've got chains that serve nothing but chicken wings. So I wouldn't be surprised if upward pressure on the price of chicken wings has driven the price up higher than drumsticks. And if that's the case, well, then, heck, let's just cook drumsticks. I have a really fun recipe. Anybody who's been to Disney World or Disneyland has seen people walking around with these gigantic brontosaurus turkey legs.
Yep, love them.
And what they are is they're cured first, then smoked. And they have almost a ham-like character to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to make them. I've reverse engineered the recipe. It's on AmazingRibs.com. You need to start the process a few days ahead of time, but it's really easy to do. Actually, I think it's just an overnight cure. But it's really easy to do, and they're a lot of fun, and you can recreate Disneyland right there in your living room.
Well, the last time I actually went to Disneyland, I got in trouble, so I don't want to recreate that. But
did you get kicked out of Disneyland?
That was a long time ago. I'm sure my record's expunged by now.
Folks out in Radio Land, I got a feeling there's a heck of a story here, and he's not going to tell us.
I'm not going to tell it on the air. That's for damn sure. I'll tell you off the air, but I'm not going to tell it on the air. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Meathead in just a minute. We're going to talk about more finger food and what to do for New Year's and the subsequent weekends afterwards. Don't go away. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033. That's Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on KUFO, KXTGT, KVI in Seattle, KPNW in Eugene, KSEY in Texas, and the list goes on and on. And I thank you all for listening, and I really do hope you have a great 2019. This part of Barbecue Nation is brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef. I've told you before, it's from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, it's just damn good beef. That's what I can say. And my buddies Mark down at Barclays in Woodburn has collectible silver dollars, excellent. There, I said it right. Collection of men's and women's 14 to 18 karat gold rings and lots of coins. So call Barclays down in Woodburn and you will find out what he's got on special today. We're talking with Meathead. By the way, folks, before I get to Meathead, I got all this stuff I got to put in there. I'd get in trouble. You can also check out the show on the SoundCloud. It's Barbecue Nation with JT, and we are breaking new records, so we'll be talking about that. All right, now, Meathead, let's talk about smoking your nuts.
All right, we mentioned you want to get them wet so they'll attract smoke. And there's all kinds of fun stuff you can do. If you dip them in egg whites, then you can sprinkle sugar on them, cinnamon. You can do all kinds of, you can do curry flavors, all kinds of fun flavors. And you can do a variety of nuts. You can do pecans, walnuts, cashews, almonds. I've got about 10 different nut recipes on AmazingRibs.com with some different treatments. I can get them you can get them hot and spicy. You can get them savory. Fun stuff you can do with nuts. You know what? You mentioned earlier you like to do ribs. I like to do ribs kind of Chinese style.
Uh-huh.
I have a really good Asian marinade, char siu marinade. It comes out a lot like what you get in the Chinese restaurant. And what you do is you cut them into individual bones before you cook them, instead of cooking them as a whole slab.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a little bit chewier this way, but they're not tough, and they'll cook faster. And I don't smoke them. I just roast them indirect on the grill, maybe the tiniest bit of smoke. And this Chinese or Asian-flavored marinade is really nice. Sprinkle them with little chives or green onions. And a fun trick is, as you cut them, instead of cutting in between the bone, right down the center of the meat, you run the knife along the bone, every bone, so that one side of the bone has no meat on it, but the other side of the bone has a double thickness of meat. They call that the Cadillac cut. And so you get a really nice meaty one side of the bone. That's a lot of fun to do.
Do you just score it, or do you go all the way to the bone?
I cut it all right. I just take a sharp knife and run it right along the bone and cut each bone out.
Okay.
I'm going to cook these. So I'm going to have 13 separate bones, and I'm going to cook them individually loose rather than as a whole slab.
Got it.
There's a little extra meat on either side, and I use this Asian dip, Asian marinade, really fun, and finger food again. And you know what else I love to do? Every year, my wife and I make glögg, which is a Swedish mulled wine. It's got red wine, port wine, and brandy, all three in there, and cardamom, and almond, and allspice. We've been doing this for 44 years of our marriage every winter, and it's just wonderful stuff. We've really perfected the recipe. That's on AmazingRibs.com, too. And if you really like it, make a double batch and age it for a year. It really ages beautifully. And this warm mulled wine with all that brandy and stuff in that really packs a wallop. You can really drink a lot without noticing it. It'll catch up to you.
That sounds like my mom when she used to make fruitcakes. She would make... Nobody in the world really likes to eat too much fruitcake. I did because I grew up with them. So I happen to like fruitcake, but I only liked the homemade kind. I didn't like the commercial baked kind. But what my mom would do, she'd make her fruitcakes, and she would wrap it in cheesecloth and then soak it in brandy.
Ooh.
And then about every 2 weeks, she would make these cakes like in the first part of October. And we'd get these big tins, popcorn tins from the theater that they got bulk popcorn in. And she would stack these in there. They were all wrapped up. They were kind of airtight. And then about once a month, she would go in and rebrandy them. She didn't get them saturated. She just soaked it. Very, very in demand fruitcake, put it that way.
I'll bet. I like a slice or two of fruitcake. I don't know if I could eat a whole lot of it. But
yeah.
I like the slicer too.
No, it's all good. It's all good. But,
you know, you mentioned something earlier, right at the top of the show, and that was you were doing a black bean dish.
Yes.
And you should tell your readers, your listeners about the importance of beans on New Year's.
Well, there's the personal preference, and then there's what would I call it? The good luck preference on beans for that too. Personal preference is so that I don't have too many visitors on New Year's Day. But the black bean soup is supposed to ward off the evil spirits and bring in a good fortunate year and all that stuff. I learned how to make it in Brazil, And I just do it kind of an old fashioned way. You know, I soak the beans a little bit, and I have a ham hock left over, or not a ham hock, but a ham bone from Christmas, or if I've got one in the freezer, I will use that. Some onion, of course, some black beans, lots of garlic and salt and spices, some red wine in there. Got to have that. And I kind of let it cook, or as my wife calls it, ferment. I usually start it the day before. And so by New Year's Eve, it's really, you know, all the shell has broken down on the beans and stuff, and it's quite good. And in Brazil, they believe that that's a guide to good fortune in the coming year. And
yeah, I don't know where this idea came from, but it's all over that beans are a thing to eat on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day to ensure good luck. And many cultures have that in it.
Yeah,
I know it's really popular in the Carolinas, in the South. It's not black beans. It's black-eyed Susans or pea beans or, you know, different beans everywhere you go, Boston. But beans, for some reason, have become tradition to eat around the new year to ensure good luck for the following year.
Well, I think it, no pun intended here, but it kind of cleans out the evil spirits and lightens the load, and off you go into the new year. You know what I mean? It's like I said, I knew about it beforehand, but when I went to Brazil, they actually showed me how to make it. And very simple. You know, we have, they eat a lot of pork down there. We eat a lot of pork up here, but and you were talking about the Carolinas and the South. There's a lot of, you know, that's kind of pork country back there in a way. And so they always, beans and pork go together. You know, if you always talk about the historical stuff, you know, cowboys moving great herds of cattle and stuff. They did not eat ribeye steaks every night. A lot of their meal was consisted of beans, but they had salt pork in it because salt pork would keep. And that's what the cooks made, you know, and they were lucky if they got some beef a couple times a week, but they ate a lot of beans and biscuits or beans and cornbread. So keeps them going.
And there's a whole variety of regional style beans. You know, you've got your Boston beans, Texas beans are a different style. The beans in the Carolinas are different. You got black eyed. You've got red beans in red beans in New Orleans.
Yeah. Red beans and rice and stuff. Yeah.
Red beans and rice. That's it. On Monday, I've got recipes for most of these bean preps on AmazingRibs.com. So if you want to do a bean dish, we can get you the recipe.
Do that. Now, before we go to break, I want you to, we didn't talk about your book this time through. I will say this, and maybe if you get a volume two, I will actually, you'll ask me and I'll put it on the back cover for you. But I think this is the most important barbecue book that's been published. I do. And it's not just for barbecue. It's for cooking because it breaks down the science and it breaks down a lot of the myths of stuff. And if you want to get the basics, and as people know, listen to this show, there's a lot, I interview a lot of authors. I think they write fine books. I think they've got great stuff in them. But yours is really a book that I think should be on every shelf. We'll be back, wrap up the nation with Meathead and celebrating the new year. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We're talking with Meathead today from AmazingRibs.com. We hope you will all have a safe and fascinating time on New Year's Eve and a very prosperous 2019. I know Meathead and I are planning on that type of scenario for us as individuals and in the meat media business, as you might say. Yeah. What if I said, okay, you get to do three things for New Year's. Three things that you're comfortable with, but you haven't really done a lot of as far as food, and you got to bring them to the party. What would you do real quick? We got about 4 minutes, so.
I'm only going to give you one then, because this is one of my all-time favorites, and it takes a little time. I start with fresh oysters, and I throw them on the smoker. There's a gizmo called Frog Mats, which is kind of like window screen, only it's a little larger mesh,
right,
covered with Teflon, and I lay them on there so they don't fall through the grates, and I smoke them. Then I take them off. I take some lemons, and I'll slice them thin, and then I'll cut them into quarters so I have these little pie slices, and simmer them gently in a simple syrup. It's half sugar, half water, so they're very sweet and very tart. I lay one of these wedges on top of the smoked oyster. Then I cut a square of puffed pastry, and I put the whole thing on top of the square of puffed pastry, fold it up like I'm gift wrapping it, and you moisten the corners so they stick together.
Right.
Flip it over so it's smooth, and paint it with an egg wash, and then I bake it. And these, I call them oysters Wellington, if you will, because they're kind of like a beef.
Yeah.
They are fantastic. You have this richness of the oyster and the sweet sourness of the lemon, and then the buttery, crunchy puff pastry. These are little finger foods, and you can pass them out. And I've never published the recipe. It's not in my book. I'll probably get in my next book. But you've just heard it. It's really simple, really easy to do. And it's just a huge hit with the crowd.
I can see why. I mean, that just sounds delectable. And you could do that, you know, if you weren't an oyster fan, you could probably do it with smoked salmon or clams or something else.
Yes, absolutely.
That just sounds amazing. You know, one of the things that, here's a quick and easy recipe, and I actually did this on the air not too long ago. You spoke of puff pastry, and this is what I do. Take a puff pastry and kind of roll it out so it's a little bigger. Take, you know, your 8 ounces of cream cheese, and I make it room temp so it's soft. I smooth it on there, and then I put some blueberries and raspberries in that and a little sugar. Fold it over, like you said. I kind of make it look like a big fat burrito, and I bake it till the pastry's puffed, if you will. And that is a delicious, simple dessert that you can do for a party. You know, it's quick, it's easy. The whole thing takes maybe a half hour from start to finish, including cook time. So something like that, and what you're doing with the oysters, or like I said, if you like salmon, do it. That's the kind of stuff you should create when you're going to these parties and think about it.
I'm sure it'd be great with salmon with those little lemon wedges.
Yeah.
And if your readers are not familiar, you can buy sheets of phyllo dough, which is the same idea as puff pastry.
Right.
You can buy it in the grocery store. You don't have to make it from scratch, and it's very good. It just becomes very flaky, wonderful stuff. Really easy to work with, a lot of fun.
I love it. So one more time, real quick, we've got about 45 seconds, Meathead. The book. I'm just going to call it the book.
Meathead, the Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling.
And it's at AmazingRibs.com. And I can tell you folks that if you have never been to Amazing Ribs, which I can't fathom that most of the people listening to the show haven't, but if you haven't, you need to go there. You need to join their Pitmasters Club. You can see all kinds of fascinating stories. There's lots of audio. There's some video. There's that place to
get wait a minute.
Discussion boards.
What are we doing? We forgot. Audio.
Audio.
We have some of your best hits available to our members.
A greatest.
In the Pitmaster Club. How could I forget to mention that?
It's a greatest hits club. There you go.
And you mentioned that the book is at AmazingRibs.com, but actually I don't sell it. I don't sell anything. Any product that we recommend, we don't sell it. The book is in Amazon. It should be in every bookstore. It was a huge hit. It was a very popular seller.
So, my friend Meathead, thank you for being with us both at Christmas and at New Year's. And I know we'll have some great adventures this year, you and I. So I can't wait. I hope you and Mrs. Meathead have a great New Year's, okay?
And best of luck to you and to your audience. And it's been fun talking to you this year. We'll see you next year.
We will. Okay, everybody, we're out of here. Have a great 2019. Enjoy the New Year celebration, and we'll be back with a new show next week right here on Barbecue Nation.